possible.
Russia is an important global power. And there's a long-standing tradition of Russia's participation in the World Economic Forum. At this moment in history, where the world has a unique and short window of opportunity to move from an age of confrontation to an age of cooperation, the ability to hear your voice, the voice of the President of the Russian Federation, is essential. Even and especially in times characterized by differences, disputes and protests, constructive and honest dialogue to address our common challenges is better than isolation and polarization. Mr. President, we are keen to hear from your perspective and from that of Russia how you see the situation developing in the third decade of the 21st century and what should be done to ensure that people everywhere find peace and prosperity. Mr. President, the world is waiting to hear from you.
Mr. Schwab, dear colleagues, dear Klaus, I've visited Davos many times assisting meetings starting from the 90s. Mr. Schwab just mentioned that we met each other first back in 1992 in St. Pete. And when I worked in St. Pete, I visited this forum many times. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity today for me to make my statement vis-a-vis the expert community which is participating at this forum, thanks to your efforts, Mr. Schwab. That's why the key issue for us today is this: what logic should we follow in our actions so as not only to quickly restore global and national economies affected by the pandemic, but to ensure that that such restoration is sustainable in the long term and has a quality structure, enabling it to help overcome the burden of social imbalances. It is clear that given the above mentioned limitations of the past macroeconomic policies, further development of the economy will be based to a great extent on fiscal stimulus, which state budgets and central banks playing the key role.
Ребята, не занимайте круговую оборону, лучше сдавайтесь сразу, вам всем пизда! Ебало, сука, у тебя, чтоб ты понял, сейчас потихоньку джавелинами накроем вас, к ебаной матери!
Пидор ебаный.
Это ты, пидор ебаный, ты на моей земле. Там, блядь, будешь, сука, и кормить червей. Гандон ты ебаный.
Хлебало забей ты, ублюдок. Ты хуево, блядь, брянская.
Ukraine.
In Ukraine.
Ukrainian.
Ukraine.
Ukraine in our hearts.
In Ukraine.
The Ukrainians.
In Ukraine.
My name is Marina Abramovic. I was born in Yugoslavia. Last years, I work in Ukraine, and I get to know the people there.
Like, I don't even know how to talk about this to my own children, let alone begin talking to you about it on television and
to show my support for the people of Ukraine.
My heart really goes out to Ukraine.
This is the color of the Ukrainian flag.
Obviously, our heart goes out to everyone in Ukraine right now.
The Ukrainians didn't attack your country. You went in and attacked their country.
Yes, I'm here. I'm in Kyiv. Everyone was hoping that the finality of the situation will be averted, right? That there's not going to be this kind of aggression.
All I can think about is the innocent men, women, and children in Ukraine who are terrified for their lives, and I don't know how to process it.
Just so proud of what these people in this country have done. So
we need to act. We need to go on to embassy websites. We need to see what we can do as citizens of the world.
Attack to Ukraine is attack to all of us, is attack to humanity, and have to be stopped.
Save the Ukrainians, save this world.
Daniel McAdams, just take a bit of a chill pill. I didn't even address the question to you. Relax. Calm down.
I don't want to relax. No, my country is
well
at
then,
war.
Well, Mr. McAdams, if you are so concerned, about
it's
Ukrainians, then Ukraine, get off the fence and send your forces and put boots on the ground. Don't lecture us here in India, okay?
Why are you
I'm not going to hear your lecture. And if you have really problems, go tell the U.S.
I'm
President,
you,
Mr. Biden,
sir,
who flashes. Fancy credentials. Mr. McAdams, tonight, play the cat's paw for the West here. Do not do that. You ask those Afghans. You ask those Afghans what they have gone through falling off planes because you dumped them. You ask the African nations because you dumped them.
I don't want
you go ask millions and millions of Iraqi citizens because you dumped them.
The world's biggest democracy.
You people and your colonial agenda, sir, has wrecked the South, has wrecked the East, and don't sit here and lecture us. Don't sit here and lecture us, Mr. McAdams. We shut him down.
I'm not talking. It's the other guy who's talking. I haven't been able to say a word.
Absolutely. The man has gone completely ballistic. And if he feels so strongly, he should go and fight alongside Ukrainians who are being killed.
I have not, dear host, I have not said a word yet. I don't know why you're yelling at me.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm talking about Mr. McAdams.
I am Mr. McAdams.
Oh.
I am Mr. McAdams, and I haven't said a word, so stop yelling at me.
Okay, sorry. I got that confused.
It's the Ukrainian guy who's going nuts, okay? Not me.
Yes, I got that. That's Borden Nahalo, the chief.
Welcome. Fair and balanced. Glad things are not being overheated here over the Ukraine. Russia situation. Do you guys recognize? That's Ron Paul's boy right there, Daniel McAdams, being shat on by some. some people said the based street squatter, I guess, to be nice. But yeah, that's. Oh my God, what can you even say about this shit? That's just overdrive already, right? One week in, and holy shit! Do you think this is gonna ease off? Do you think the world is gonna be forgetting about this over the next couple of the next year here? No, of course not. You know, we'll talk more about this later here. But like, look, a war with Russia is coming. There's just no other way about this. This is the psychosis that the mainstream managed to whip up when it comes to the, you know, say the COVID narrative over the last 2 years, right? I mean, we've seen videos of people being attacked and, you know, humiliated, and I mean, obviously imprisoned worse, with like not wearing masks or showing up without being vaccinated and stuff like that. Like that hysterical, like the unvaccinated narrative, you know, that momentum, the brainwashing machine, the intense system apparatus that can just like focus on anything and anybody at any point and make it out to be the greatest enemy of the rest of the NPCs out there. That's now going to happen not only towards Russia, but towards Russians, no matter where they are in the world, and presumably no matter even where they stand and what they believe. We'll talk more about that here in a moment, right? But so we have quite a bit to go into here today. But it's good to be back with you guys. Thank you for joining us today. I'm alone here in the studio today. We're actually not sure if we're going to do a show even today. We had some, we're still kind of a little bit under the weather. I'm still not out of it. I hate talking about it. I just don't want to address it. I'm sick of it. Some people are trying to convince me that it's the COVID, Omicron, but who the hell knows at this point? I'm not going to take some damn toxic test or swab or anything like that. So whatever, we're still here. We're live. We're a bit under the weather, but what you going to do? Anyway, so we're doing the show a little bit early today. So thank you for joining us live. I do appreciate you. Maybe a little bit less of you guys are aware of that. I tried to post about it a little bit earlier. But we actually have a birthday party here a little bit later. So I wanted to scooch it, back a couple of or started a little bit earlier, a couple of hours earlier. So we can be out of here a bit earlier today for the birthday party. But guys, good to see you all. Always miss you guys, so thank you for joining us. We are doing, what is it, episode 158 today. We'll talk a lot about Russia, of course. Got to keep hammering this. But there's also some interesting stuff coming out about the COVID-19 vaccine. And, yeah, it's amazing how the stuff that's coming out is being covered up as well by the Ukraine-Russia situation. So, you know, but we'll highlight some of that. Nothing that's news to us. We've talked about it over the last year here, basically, since the vaccine came out. But it's now being it's now official, basically, right? So if you want to join us today, interpreterstream.live/redeyestv. I see Scott McLean over there says, this will soon be illegal in the communist country of China. I just wanted to show some support for all the years. Cheers, Henrik. Cheers, Lana. May better times come. Thank you, Scott. Indeed. I do think they will, but not before they get a whole lot worse. Jenna 2030, for some reason, they need to squeeze a war in. Look, we need 500 million people on this planet, according to them. And you got to do it somehow. And what better way than a massive global war, right? Tommy Cat over on Odyssey as well says, we need to stay out of it. Appreciate what you do, Henrik. But thank you for the super chat over on Odyssey. That is open as well. I have an iPad with the chat here. I think I missed one last Wednesday show. I do apologize about that. Not my intention, but I have an iPad here with the chat. So if I read them right away, I should be able to get those out of the way. So thank you, guys. I appreciate that. All right, so what else do we do here formality-wise before we get into this? I think that's it, really. I do think that's it. So basically, we saw a little clip show there in the beginning, some of the stuff that's happening. Just a reminder again of like how closely aligned Putin, at least up to this point, used to be. Look, I know they do this. They use war leaders up to a certain point when they can. Eventually, whether they know this ahead of time or not, when they're falling out of favor, that's it. And they turn on them and they're out. You know, his World Economic Forum pages, Putin's, I mean, were deleted here by the Schwabs and all the other ones the other day. So they're trying to pretend that he was never with us. You know, they're trying to bury speeches like that of like how closely related, Russia is with the World Economic Forum, right? But we remember. All right, so I wanted to begin playing a clip here when it comes to some other realities. I've actually been watching Coach Red Pill, or what's his name again? Gonzalo, right? Gonzalo Lira, right? Some interesting streams, somewhat repetitive, but it's always good to get a insight, you know, on location. Some of them, apparently, one of them took off. It was like cut up by Russian media, and they're like turning, you know, making him into be like a super pro Putin, you know, kind of guy. And he even claimed that he had some like assassins that showed up or tried to get him, I guess, or something like that, right? But there are other people too, in, of course, Ukraine. And check out this French woman. This is always interesting when slip-ups like this occur, right? You know that, you know, if you watched last Wednesday show, highly critical of Zelensky and the regime that he represents, and, of course, the whole NATO, Western, you know, guard behind him, you know, from Washington, D.C. to Tel Aviv to London to Paris and to all the ex-oligarchs and stuff. I mean, they're all on the same page here. They're all supportive of not the Ukrainian people, but they're supportive of using Ukraine as a, albeit a somewhat small sledgehammer against Russia, right? And I think this will just escalate to the point where eventually you will see a massive war. Russia is going to draw into its own side more, of course. It's going to be closer aligned with countries like China, obviously Iran, already pretty tight there. Maybe even, I'm not sure where India and some of these countries will parse up, right? But there's plenty of other countries on the Asian continent there that's going to align, I think, with that faction. And eventually, I think you'll see unfortunately, I hope it can be averted, and I hope I'm wrong, but a huge conflict of some sort. And I'm talking before 2030. I mean, we're talking in a couple of years here, right? Listen to this French woman, what she has to say about Zelensky. It's a subtitle. Check this out.
Pour se chauffer actuellement dans ces mois d'hiver, c'est plus de moitié que les ménages doivent consacrer à ça. Donc la vie est très très compliquée. Donc je vois pas qu'est-ce qu'on défend. Le président et le gouvernement fantoche là actuellement, que je trouve fantoche, et pas du tout celui que Poutine soi-disant va mettre.
Vous parlez là de...
emporté contre tout ce qu'on entend là actuellement, les pauvres Ukrainiens, mais les pauvres Ukrainiens, ils y sont. avec ces gouvernements successifs, avec cette misère, avec cette économie délabrée.
C'est... Elle parle de Zelensky.
Oui, mais vous parlez de Zelensky, vous parlez de qui? Vous parlez
de Zelensky, oui.
Oui, oui. Donc vous, vous, ukrainienne, vous considérez que Zelensky, le chef d'État dûment élu d'Ukraine, est à la tête d'un gouvernement fantoche?
Fantoche, d'une chose, et puis la deuxième chose, c'est une personne pas du tout démocratique. Il y a quand même 4 chaînes oppositionnistes qui étaient fermées. Il y a des journalistes qui sont tués, on décrit ça pour la Russie, mais ça se passe aussi en Ukraine. Il y a quand même 4 journalistes qui sont tués depuis quelques années. Il y a un tas de choses qui se passent qu'on ne sait pas et qu'on ne dit pas.
Oui. Donc ce que vous dites...
Yeah, there you go. Pretty interesting, huh? So sometimes that slips out, certain things, which you don't normally get on Western TV. But there's been a few. Played Wednesday a really good clip with one of the retired colonels there in the U.S. military general. Forget his name now. Really, excuse me, poignant, like, you know, on point analysis of what it should have been done. Like, that basically, like, we've been poking Russia since 2004-05, and then since 2014, the coup... And I mean, it's just been going and going and going ever since then. And then all of a sudden, Zelensky whips out like, yeah, we're going to enter in NATO. We're going to have EU membership. We're going to have nukes now, too. And it was just like, that's just a line too far. And they said it. But guess who inspired Zelensky to go into politics? You can't make this one up, right? I'm not sure where Zelensky is on the World Economic Forum partnership page. I'm sure he's very tightly knit with them as well. But here's Zelensky on Twitter. Justin Trudeau was one of those leaders who inspired me to join politics. Oh, good. Thank you. Ay. What can you say? It's almost too perfect, isn't it? Right. All right. So what has happened now is that you have a launch of supposed, targeting of Russian oligarchs, right? So we had the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, recently here. It was yesterday, I believe, did an announcement about this regarding Operation Klepto Capture. Listen to this here.
Today, the Justice Department has launched a task force to hold accountable Russian oligarchs and others who seek to evade U.S. sanctions. The United States has imposed sweeping economic countermeasures in response to Russia's unprovoked military invasion of Ukraine. The Justice Department will use all of its authorities to seize the assets of individuals and entities who violate these sanctions. We will leave no stone unturned in our efforts to investigate, arrest, and prosecute those whose criminal acts enable the Russian government to continue this unjust war. Let me be clear. If you violate our laws, we will hold you accountable.
All right, and that's that for him. So it seems to only apply to some oligarchs, though, right? Some oligarchs they can work together with. Now, past Wednesday show, I showed some clips from Russian Godfathers, a BBC documentary back from, I think, 2005 or 6. Maybe it was released later, but they focused on a lot of the period from 2004 and 5, and just like all the gay ops and the Orange Revolution and like the Alex Goldfarb, his participation with Boris Berezovsky. Now, what I neglected to mention is that Boris Berezovsky was most likely assassinated in London, right? He was like stuck between Tel Aviv and London to like run his gay op operation against, Russia. And they're openly talking about it in the documentary. Like, yeah, we're going to turn all these countries against them, and the Ukraine is like the base of operations, essentially, right? And of course, ever since 2014, they've had especially the Western puppets in place, right? So they wheeled out Mikhail Khodorkovsky on French TV, kind of a not really a great interview, but I wanted to play a couple of minutes from it because he's also one of these exiled oligarchs, Jewish oligarchs from Russia. They're wheeling them all out and talking with them and like, going to them to get the opinions, the accurate opinions about Russia and Russian politics and what's going to happen. The invasion of Ukraine is suicide for Putin, says Kremlin critic Mikhail Khodorkovsky, without, of course, mentioning anything about his background or what he did or why he was exiled and stuff. And it's the same thing with like Boris Berezovsky, right? It was like, literally like criminal. It was a criminal. He stole money from Russian people and thought that they would be able to invest in some new public in a car company or something like that. And then fine print, he said he could just take all the money and run, essentially, which he did, right? But then it's like, oh no, they're still stand up guys. They're just afraid of Western democratic values in Ukraine. That's the only thing that this is about, right? Anyway, listen to what Khodorkovsky said here. Right in the beginning of the interview here regarding this.
In 2014, Ukraine, after liberating itself from Viktor Yanukovych, who was a Putin vassal, deeply offended in the moral sense, Mr. Putin, and Putin felt that everything that has happened since then in Ukraine is due to meddling by the Americans in order to deprive him, Putin, of power. And during all these years, Putin sought to prevent Ukraine from becoming a full-fledged country. And at the present time, the reactions are emotional reactions. It's an emotional decision, which is due to the fact that he feels that the situation, from his standpoint, is not positive.
Yeah, you could say that. It kind of goes in that vein. They talk about a little bit later of like, well, is he mad? Has Putin gone insane? You know, these kinds of things, right? But not really that interesting, to be honest. It's just more noteworthy that they wheel out these old oligarchs that were exiled a while back. Now, do Russia still have a problem of sorts with oligarchs, and you know what side are they on, and you know all those discussions are still valid, right? But there is this clear line of like an old guard that used to seek to take the control, over Russia, basically. And at least partially, or at least a faction of that was pushed away, and they were ousted. And ever since then, they worked on all these gay ops to turn the rest of the world against Russia. And now we're seeing some of the culmination of that. It's kind of interesting, to be honest, that they go to these guys, right? And again, posing like, you know, that when we put our democratic puppets in place, right, then, oh no, that's totally fine. But if Russia opposes it, or if they want to seek to have someone who's, you know, standing up for their interests and stuff like that, then that's completely out of bounds and completely unreasonable. And they're acting like this is insane to act in the same way that, I mean, look at how many elections America's meddled in, or how many puppets they put in place, right? I mean, this is ridiculous. There's zero self-reflection. But again, as we know, this is not about truth. This is not about honesty. This is not about being fair. This is just about winning. That's the only thing that matters to these people and to so many others, right? MHT over on Entropy says, happy birthday to the person whose birthday party you are going to. Yeah, it's my youngest, so thank you. MHT, appreciate that. Gutik is having a birthday, so appreciate that. Sinewolf says, Oceania will soon be at war with Eurasia, Henrik. There you go. The real end of history they have been promising us. Yeah, I mean, I sincerely believe on some level that, and hopefully it can be averted, hopefully it won't be as insane as maybe they want it to be, but the ramping up of the sides here is, I mean, it's just going to get more and more, they're going to get more and more isolated from each other, they're going to get more and more hardlined, and they're going to end up living in two different realities, essentially. And that eventually there's only conflict at the end of that. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's like all about, you know, global, there's a cringe, like, Western powers or like the international community or like we can solve all these issues or whatever while they're just steamrolling over countries and, you know, what in Westerns, at least the elites leadership in West, they try to pose as being like cooperation or like, oh, we brought democracy to this country or whatever, is like, you know, intensely detrimental. But what I'm saying is even those levels of like diplomacy, as bad as they are, will most likely just completely collapse and disintegrate. You know, I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Time will tell. It's way too early to tell. Heck, this is still I mean, this is like, you know, we're still reeling from outcomes of the French Revolution, the Second World War. Look at how much National Socialism and Hitler is dominating the discussion. Like 77 years later, that's all, everything that's, I mean, there's one single most political, influential, not only individual, like an Austrian painter with a small mustache, but just like a political movement and what happened, you know, in Germany with National Socialism, it's still like just a like dominating everything. Like everything is dominated by this brief period in history, and who, you know, who's trying to stop who for what reasons, and it all goes back to that. People claim, right? They're using that. It's truly remarkable. So another thing we saw too, by the way, if you this little side note here, it's kind of more of a fun story, but, you know, if you, if this wasn't about, you know, what about bad, what about white people bad? Can we get something on this, right? There's a CNN piece here. Media coverage of Ukraine shows it's time to rethink what we know about Africa. The thing is, this headline was changed. We have a screenshot of how it used to say, and it used to say, I'm a black African woman. It's time to change the channel on Ukraine media coverage. It's from, I guess, yesterday here, right? And listen to like how some of this begins here. She's complaining because someone in Ukraine, the deputy chief prosecutor, David Sakaldiez, in a BBC interview said, "It's very emotional for me. Because I see European people with blue eyes and blonde hair being killed. And oh, holy shit, is that a problem? You are not allowed to put any kind of weight on the fact that white people can be or, you know, are victims or suffering from these kinds of things as well, right?" She says, it wasn't so much what he said. It was more what was implied. That not all lives have equal value. What are you talking about? Like, this is not your conflict. You have your own conflicts. And that idea, the belief that some races are superior to others, is a fundamental principle of racism. It's alarming to me that Sakaldiez was left unchallenged during this interview. As a black African woman without the benefit of blue eyes or blonde hair, because that particular demographic is totally not being shat on right now, you know, by all over the West. But, you know, what are you going to do about it? It's been equally emotional to see the number of racist and ignorant comments in the coverage of Ukraine. Talk about making it about yourself. It's a fucking war on between two European, mostly, countries like Russia. That's not how far east to go, but you know what I'm saying, right? Russia, Ukraine, two ostensibly, obviously, European countries are at war with each other. They're fighting, right? And you have white people being killed and murdered. It's not, you know, I'm trying to laugh about this in any regards. It's disgusting seeing this from both ends, from both levels. It's sickening to see how Ukraine is being used. And it's also sickening to see how Russia is being obviously intentionally provoked so that they left them no option. This is the only thing, essentially, they could left to do, right? If you gave nukes to them and if you had Ukraine joining NATO, right, which they're doing with their puppets Zelensky and the Western-backed NATO, the gay NATO people here, right? It's sickening seeing this. But somehow, of course, CNN can always make it about shitting on white people somehow. It's truly astonishing, doesn't it? If we have a little bit more time later, we didn't get to see it yet, but it was I guess it's a new show out on Showtime? Yeah, I think everything's going to be all white. I guess it's out this year, the first couple of episodes out. There's a trailer for that. We didn't actually have time to look at that yet. So maybe we have time later. We can return. Don't for a moment think that the anti-white stuff has stopped in any kind of capacity, right? JP says, happy birthday to your youngest child, 14. Well, thank you, Jay. I appreciate that. That's very kind. I'll relay the words. I appreciate that. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the gay ops here, too, because this is, of course, one of the first things that does happen in these kinds of conflicts. It's just, I mean, an endless barrage of propaganda. And yes, it's recognized that it's on both sides and both try to spin it for their own gains and purposes and so forth. But I do believe that, you know, do you guys remember some of the coverage that we've done about the white helmets, for example, in Syria, right? What happened, you know, the attacks on Assad and stuff. And you just assume that, like, a country that it's that much closer to the West, and you have active participation of people, you know, on the boots on the ground, so to speak, by Western intelligence firms and stuff, that they would just have, an endless slew of gay ops and propaganda ready to go when and if something like this were to occur and happen, right? And boy, do they like their numbers, right? There was a tweet here from one of the member of the parliament, deputy head of the Golos Zemin party. I'm not sure actually which, I'm not too familiar with that party. First deputy minister of education and science back from 2014 to 2016. Tweeted out this video here. And of course, as I said, they do like their numbers, right? On the 3rd of March, so 3/3/22, there were 33 people killed in a missile strike, allegedly, supposedly, in Cherniv, if I pronounced that correctly. Look at some of the footage here, and yes, there's a little, you know, gruesome here, whatever, but just look at this for a second here.
Аптека, блядь!
A little warning here about the footage. If you're sensitive, maybe you don't want to watch the next 20 seconds here.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go, right? So this could, of course, be 100% real. It could be it could be exactly as they say what happened, and it could be exactly like it, right? But then you have the distinct possibility that, obviously, we're talking about destruction here, and we can see the visual, you know, destruction. But when it comes to victims and bodies, you have to keep in mind that, like, a lot of these intelligence firms, both internally in Ukraine, but also presumably the help that they would be getting from Western countries, a lot of this is about an information war, propaganda war, still, despite the fact that it is a war, right? And you would always run at least partially with the assumption that it could very well be staged and faked, right? Now, I'm not saying this video is. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes they like their numbers. They like their, for some reason, they think that kind of makes a bigger impact, I guess, psychologically or something. I'm not sure exactly why they do it, right? But there are a couple of examples, right? We looked at that footage of the TV tower being hit, and then, you know, that developed into the story about how Russia attacked all of a sudden a Holocaust memorial. Remember that? We covered that Wednesday, so I'm not going to go over it again. But that was part of that strike on the TV tower in, I think it was Kiev, the TV tower there. But here's another example of someone who's being interviewed on Sky News, so UK, British TV, right? And a lot, you know, tons of these units that were targeted supposedly by Russia has to do with information units, right? And again, they've talked about staging things. They talked about make it look as bad for Russia as possible, meaning that some of the footage that you're seeing might not be 100% true. And that's why I want to play that to you so you understand that. But listen to what she said here. Right at the end, this girl here being interviewed reveals obviously what her task is and what her position is inside of Ukraine, and what her objective is. Listen to this here.
Well, as you said, being trapped is the most terrifying thing in the world. Encircled too. How are you all bearing up? How are you coping? How are you talking about it with your family and getting through this? And do you see any way out?
We are panicking. We have constant feeling of fear. Today, I found myself thinking that I shudder at the sound of my heartbeat. When I was in the basement, I was so scared because we heard some vibrations, some explosions happening somewhere. Of course, we cannot identify while we are there where it's happening and what is best to do at this moment, probably just stay quiet and safe. We try to support each other, but of course, everyone is very tense, reading news, literally updating news every 10, 5 minutes. This will stay with Ukrainians for the rest of our lives. My life will forever be divided into the before and after the war. And yeah, I just hope for the best and hope that one day we'll be able to escape the trap and I will be able to continue doing my job and fighting on the information front, feeling more safe. and what? Being able to do more into the before and after the war. And yeah, I just hope for the best and hope that one day we'll be able to escape the trap and I will be able to continue doing my job and fighting on the information front, feeling more safe and being able to do more.
Isn't that what you're doing right now? You're fighting on the information front by possibly, I'm not saying that the situation might be terrifying in some areas or whatever, right? But it's kind of, everything you see in the Western press, you gotta take it with a grain of salt. I mean, you do with the other side too. I'm not saying there's complete objectivity and truth from that side either, right? But again, there was a perfect example here of the TV tower that was struck, right? Let me remind you again of the footage of that here, in case you missed it, right? It was a strike on the TV tower. Let me see this one. The main one was hit first, like in the middle, right? And then, behind that, kind of where you see the other tower, if you will, like down in the bottom left there, or, you know, towards the middle left. There was a second strike a little bit later, and I don't think... Oh, here's the one. Yeah, here it is. Look at this one here. Here's the second strike, right? Yeah, there it is. It's a bit further away. And I think, again, that developed into, this is an attack on a Holocaust memorial intentionally, you know, and stuff like that. Now, I'm not too sure about that too much about it. But so what happened is that this was somewhat earlier in the day. And just as one example, I'm going to scroll past it somewhat quick because, maybe some of the platforms are iffy about showing too much sensitive footage or whatever. It's footage or video and photos of dead bodies, right? Lying around after this strike on the TV tower. So let me go by that pretty quick so we can read the comments there. Here we go. I don't want to show too much right there. And you can see them lying very close together. It's later in the evening for some reason, despite the fact that the strike was earlier in the day. And somebody just pointed out the basic thing, that there's a morgue close by and that the bodies were already, suffering from, but they were in the state of rigor mortis, right? The when your body freezes, your musculature, everything just kind of, stiffens up, right? That's the word I'm looking for. There were several details noted by independent observers on social media. First of all, the corpses shown in the video have signs of pronounced rigor mortis at least 4 to 6 or more hours after death. The closest of the dead were torn, but they had almost no wounds on the skin. Judging by the smoke, the skin should be burnt, but it is not. Another argument is that the corpses are lying together, but they should have been thrown in the area by such a huge blast, thrown widely thrown all over the place, right? The locals noted that there is a morgue not far from the... excuse me... not too far from the TV tower. They supposed that the corpses could have been brought from the Bureau of Forensics Examination. The English is not the best. There's a South Front, right? Point after the explosion. The man on the video claimed that the young family was killed, as well as a man who was laying nearby, but was not properly filmed. At least 2 more victims supposed to be killed in the civilian cars. The question is, to Kyiv Emergency Service, the Russian Minister of Defense claimed that the TV tower was destroyed at about 10 a.m. in the morning. The video proves that the strike took place at the daytime. How is it possible that so many victims were found late in the evening? The answer is that they were not killed by any blast and they were probably, laid there. Oh, I'm showing too much here. But anyway, so it's just one little example, right? I've returned to that footage of the blast on the TV tower a number of times. And again, apparently that's part of why this thing was attacked and struck, was because there's a lot of the gay op information units run using that, the facilities there, using that infrastructure, but also they have some of their actual buildings, close by where you will see some of this stuff. Now, of course, this could be also turning to go into overdrive, right? I saw this, I think this is an Israeli news source, I-24, I think that's like Israel 24. Which is like, I'm not sure what to make of this. It's kind of when it goes overkill in the other direction too. Putin denies Russia bombing Ukrainian cities. I mean, again, think about the white helmets, right? Remember what Assad said many times? And I think we should, some cases you just have to take the side that's being attacked for you know, at face value, or the person defending themselves in some cases. You have to listen to what they say at least and take that into account. But remember all the time, like, how is it that the white helmet is always first on location, no matter where it is, right? In the Syrian conflict I'm talking about now. Somehow the white helmets always know where remarkably Assad would strike, right? And then they're first on the scene to rescue everybody and stuff like that. And of course, what became known over time is that it's them bombing. It's them bombing buildings. And then they're pretending that they're there as a rescue organization to use it as justification in the Western press and international media to garner support for those fighting Assad, right? And so you have to keep in mind that there could be things like this too. Now, obviously, I think that there is airstrike. I'm not trying to, you know, deny that entirely. But it's just to note the reality of how hard it is to actually know what actually is going on, because everything is a gay op inside of a gay op. And it's very frustrating, right? Because you try to parse this out and see what really is going on. But then you get like kind of, well, I mean, outrageous comments like that from Putin, right? Russia is open to dialogue with the Ukrainian side, but only under condition that our demands are met, presumably all of them, right? Russian President Vladimir Putin is in a phone call with the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, denied that Russian troops were bombing Ukrainian cities, dismissing such information as fake, the Kremlin said Friday. Putin said reports about the alleged ongoing airstrikes in Kyiv and other large cities are gross propaganda fakes, the Kremlin said in a statement. He added a dialogue on Ukraine would be possible only if Russian demands are met. Putin confirmed that Russia is open to dialogue with the Ukrainian side, as well as with everyone who wants peace in Ukraine, but under the condition that all Russian demands are met. These include the neutral and non-nuclear status of Ukraine, which, you know, is understandable, frankly, from them, right? But then you have this dumb thing of its denazification, you know, efforts or whatever. And it's like, oh, well, that possibly cannot be used. I wouldn't see any. How could that possibly? Well, here's someone have opinions you don't like. Well, there you go. You're a Nazi, right? So Russia is playing the same game on this front as the West does. And there's no difference, right? Unless, you know, although I want to say it is fascinating that the West is totally ignoring the Azov Battalion. Now, to act like they're the biggest player here and somehow they hold the most influence and the most sway and stuff is equally retarded, right? It's just one faction and it's frankly small. I'm not saying completely insignificant, but obviously small in the grand scheme of things. You'd think like, you know, Washington and London, Paris, Tel Aviv, and all these, you know, puppets in the Ukrainian regime backed by these countries, by the West and these capitals, that they would have a little bit more sway. They would be a little bit more heavier, you know, kind of heavier player in all of this, right? No, instead, it all devolves down into the Azov Battalion, while the West, of course, is completely ignoring this, right? So it's you know, I talked about this Wednesday, but this is a thing of it that you'll just see repeatedly over and over again, which is very annoying, frankly. And they're pretending that this is the biggest, you know, biggest elephant in the room. But also here, to continue, they want recognition of Crimea as part of Russia and the sovereignty of separatist territories in eastern Ukraine. Anyway, but so, again, I didn't see any other, you know, further follow-up on terms of this comment. Like, excuse me, Mr. Putin, like, what did Scholz say to that? Olaf Scholz in Germany. You know, we were seeing, obviously, someone dropping bombs. Is that Ukraine doing that on its own cities, you know? Now, there is an issue here. Why it wouldn't be completely out of bounds that at least partially they would do something like this. And one of the reasons why I say that is because of what happened with this attack on the nuclear reactor, right? Let me do this one quicker before we get to this tweet here. North Fork says, Henrik, really appreciate your talent for shifting through and finding the pertinent clips to keep us folks informed, as well as your excellent commentary. Happy birthday to your younger ones. Well, thank you, North Fork. I appreciate that. My pleasure. We do the best we can. We do appreciate you tuning in. Thank you so much for your support as well. North Fork, very kind of you. Not easy being sick doing it. What are you going to do? Can't wait any longer. It's the fatigue has been rough. I got to tell you, whatever this is, some dumb Omicron thing is. It's rough. I'm so sick of it. I'm just, you know what? Someday, Someday the fuckers have been, I'm sorry, but someday the people who have been tinkering with this shit in a lab is going to be held accountable, right? There's like hundreds of millions of people that are, I would assume, want to have justice against the people who have been screwing around with in a lab about this. From Daszak to Fauci to the henchmen over at Wuhan, supposedly, who are, being on the payroll of developing some of this shit. Someone's going to have to pay. Let me put it that way. All right, anyway. Dmitry Kuleba, we've referenced him a couple of times and things that he's tweeting out. He says, Russian army, this is yesterday, right? Earlier in the day. Russian army is firing from all sides upon the Zaporizhzhia, maybe, NPP, the largest nuclear power plant in Europe. Fire has already broke out. If it blows up, it will be 10 times larger than Chernobyl. Russians must immediately cease the fire, allow firefighters, establish a security zone, right? So what happened after this? Oh, and here's the comment, by the way, too. I forgot I had this clip. Let's listen to Zelensky talking about this supposed attack on the nuclear reactor here.
Europa зараз повинна прокинутись.
Europe has to wake up now. Europe's largest nuclear plant is on fire. At this very moment, Russian tanks are shooting at nuclear reactor blocks. These are tanks equipped with the thermal vision devices, so they know where they are shooting. They were prepared for this. I'm appealing to all Ukrainians, to all Europeans, to all the people who know the word Chernobyl, to those who know how much misery and victims the nuclear power plant explosion brought. It was a global disaster. Hundreds of thousands of people were dealing with the consequences. Dozens of thousands of people were evacuated. Russia wants to repeat it, and it's already repeating it, but it is six times bigger now. We are warning everybody. Not a single state apart from Russia has ever shelled nuclear reactors. It is for the first time in our history, in the history of humankind, that the terrorist state turned to nuclear terrorism. The Russian propaganda was threatening everybody, we remember, to cover the earth with nuclear ashes. Now it is not just a threat, it is our reality. We don't know when the fire on the nuclear power plant will be extinguished. We don't know whether an explosion will happen or not. God forbid that it should. Our men were always keeping the nuclear power plant safe, so there were no provocations. Nobody could just go and take over the nuclear power plant, plant explosives there, and then blackmail the entire world with nuclear disaster. The Russian military has to be stopped. Call on your politicians immediately. Ukraine has 15 nuclear reactors. If there is a nuclear explosion, this will be the end of everybody, the end of Europe.
End of everybody, the end of Europe. Now, this is, I mean, so this turned out to be fake. I mean, more or less. It was exaggerated at the very least and used as a way to basically get the rest of the world drawn into this conflict. I mean, completely irresponsible, right? Look, I know from this guy's point of view, he's like in an existential fight. So if he goes down, that's it. So he doesn't care and it doesn't matter, right? But it's like you have sides here that are doing everything they can to escalate at the quickest possible, effort, as opposed to just like calming things down. I mean, it's like the general said. I mean, it's a shitty situation, but like obviously the right method here is not to send mercenaries and ship weapons to Ukraine and then ship starting a foreign legion and then starting to handing out Kalashnikovs to your local citizens to have them fight, putting them their lives on the line and lining up in front of Russian tank columns. I mean, it's so irresponsible, right? So anyway, so this is what happened later here, some of the coverage, right? The Ukrainian government, including Zelensky, lied about Russia's critically damaging the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant in a way that caused radiation levels to rise, which they used to justify getting the U.S. and NATO involved. The Ukrainian government is actively trying to start World War III. Right, here's the report again of what we saw regarding, the elevated radiation levels are being detected around the nuclear plant, a Ukrainian official tells AP. Ukraine's prime minister is calling on NATO to close the skies over nuclear power plant or plants, all of them, I guess. It is a question of the security of the whole world. They were willing to like play this card, right? To go in this direction. Meanwhile, U.S. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm tweeted that the Zaporizhzhia plant's reactor were protected by robust containment structures and were being safely shut down. In an emotional speech in the middle of the night, Zelensky said, this, I believe that is the one that we watched, right? It's the end of Europe. Everybody's going to be evacuated. Everybody's going to die. Only urgent action by Europe can stop the Russian troops, he said. Do not allow the death of Europe from a catastrophe at a nuclear power station. But most experts saw nothing to indicate an impending disaster. The International Atomic Energy Agency said the fire had not affected essential equipment and that Ukraine's nuclear regulatory reported no change in radiation levels. The American Nuclear Society concurred, saying that the latest radiation levels remained within natural background levels. And here is more, right? A plant spokesperson told RIA that background levels of radiation had not changed, right? So the point is, why this is important is they're trying. They're trying everything, including lying to the world and getting the world involved in a new world war, essentially, just to get this to stop. It's this scorched earth tactic. Like, if we can't have it, no one will. I think even Gonzalo Lira pointed out this too. The Ukrainians, or Zelensky at least, the Zelensky regime, is using the nuclear power plant as a shield, as a way, as an excuse. Again, making it more difficult. They're the ones who are, like, you know, encouraging the situation, presumably by being having military personnel being close to it, using that, you know, hiding in the behind those structures, right? It, completely insane, like lunatic. And so you get to this point where you realize that anything is possible here for these people, and they might use anything. And so, is it possible that they are bombing their own buildings in some of these cases just to show that this is Russia doing it to get the international community to turn against it? Yeah, it's absolutely possible. Are all that? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying it's a distinct possibility, and you have to just keep that in mind when you're watching this, that you literally cannot make any decision based on, like, one video that you see alone. You know what I mean? Here's another example. The crying journalist demanding that Boris drags Britain to war is a Biden-linked World Economic Forum global leader. Oh, what a big surprise. She's not a journalist. She's an activist for the same interest who started the conflict in 2014. On Tuesday morning, journalist Daria Kulniuk confronted British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, demanding NATO enters the war in Ukraine despite massive public objections to Western nations becoming involved. Is this? Let me see if there is a. Is there a video on this? I think I saw it. Let's play a little bit from it here. This could be good if this is the one. I saw it yesterday and then I actually forgot about it. Here it is. Let's play a little bit.
Air defense, at least this air defense could shield the Western Ukraine so that these children with women could come to the border. It's impossible now to cross the border. There are 30 kilometers of lines. Imagine crossing the border with a baby or with two children. I'm so glad that Samantha Power is coming here to the border from the Polish side. Let her come to the border from Ukrainian side and see that. Britain guaranteed our security under Budapest Memorandum. So you're coming to Poland. You're not coming to Kiev, Prime Minister. You're not coming to...
Exactly. Papa Lazarou on Odyssey says, babies in incubators. That's right. You guys remember that? This is all what it's about. It's babies in incubators. We're right back in Kuwait again.
Because you
and again, the people that push it is literally like related to the people who are part of the conflict, or they're, you know, again, like this woman's a World Economic Forum activist, right? It's always the same
afraid
thing.
Because NATO is not willing to defend, because NATO is afraid of the World War III, but it is already started. And these are Ukrainian children who are there taking the hit. You're talking about more sanctions, Prime Minister, but Roman Abramovich is not sanctioned. He's in London. His children are not in the bombardments. His children are there in London. Putin's children are in Netherlands, in Germany, in mansions. Where are all these mansions seized? I don't see that. I see that my family members, that my team members are saying that we are crying. We don't have where to rob. Well, this is what is happening, Prime Minister.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for your questions, and thank you for getting here today. And I'm glad that you have been able to to get here.
To bring us this vital propaganda on the front lines here so we can get more emotionally involved and then not use our rational brains, but just run being run by women on emotions. That's clearly the that's the best thing in this situation. Not really thinking ahead. Whoa, slow down a second here. Where is this going? Look, I know you might be in a shitty situation, and it's tough luck, right? But about a world conflict and dragging the U.S. in and NATO and then China and then Iran and India and, you know, Pakistan. Like, what is this really? Is that really the best solution here in this situation? No. Kalenyuk, however, is scarcely the journalist Western media outlets are portraying. Instead, Kalenyuk is a longtime political activist, recently used in the Joe Biden 2020 campaign. Additionally, Kalenyuk serves as a World Economic Forum global young leader. Well, will you look at that? Big surprise. And then they go and talk about what the World Economic Forum is and all that kind of stuff, right? There you go. That's always what you get with these kinds of things. So always a gay op and always something weaved into something else, and it's never just what it is. It's always something else, right? Now this is going to reach hysterical levels. It already has, but this is the point of why I was returning to this or talked about this earlier. This is not going to go away. This is not going to settle, at least, I think, for a year, 2 years forward, right? I think the same level of hysteria that they managed to whip out about the COVID stuff, which is kind of a new level of hysteria, is all of that energy, all the same general methods that were used to create that environment about the COVID and the vax and the unvaccinated and all that stuff is now going to be it's just Russia now. You know what I mean? The chip has been installed and that's what it is, right? And here's just, you know, a couple of examples, right? International Cat Federation bans Russian cats from competitions. This is like, oh no, it's, and I saw in the comments, oh, this is, no, you don't understand. This is a really big deal to Russians. And this is, you know, that's it then. The war, this will hurt them where it really matters, right? This is how crazy it is, right? I put this on our Telegram. It's kind of more fun, right? But it's like, there's a Redditor in the Finland post, right? Flag of Finland, but I changed the colors in support for Ukraine. This is, you know, I know it's dumb, but you're gonna see some crazy shit here in the coming months. But I think in the extension, in the long run, this will just keep going. It will devolve rapidly. Where like this the same whatever this is with the mental illnesses that the majority of people out there seem to have. Maybe it's not the majority. Maybe it's like a third or something. But they're just really loud and very, you know, annoying. But that is just going to grow and grow and grow, and it's going to be all about purging everything that's Russian and Russians from every walk of life, from every aspect. Right? Here's a clip from a presumably a shop in Germany. That's at least how he was tagged. A German store somewhere in Germany being vandalized.
Пришла на работу. У нас вон полиция стоит, побита. Вся краска разлита. Могин, я, их работает хе. Я, их Вась. О, год. Was soll das? Вот такая у нас это. Сейчас полиция разговаривала, слышали, да?
Yeah, there you go. That's what we have there. So if that's tagged correctly, and if the motivations are true, then that's what that is. I'm not surprised. I'm totally not doubting that. I think we're going to see a lot more of that. And that's, you know, whether it's any tie to Russia or some Russian business or something is going to be, you know, targeted and attacked, and people are going to act as vigilantes here, right? I'm not trying to say that this is some kind of Kristallnacht type event here, but it's like, but it's interesting that it's like, again, the irresponsible Western propaganda machine is just completely disregarding what it is doing and how this will affect just normal, regular people on the ground that has nothing to do with it. Here's another example. Look at this kid here. This is a Russian living in Australia who went on a TV show, and this happened.
So as someone who comes from the Russian community here in Australia, I've been pretty outraged by the narrative created by our media depicting the Ukraine as the good guy and Russia as the bad guy. Believe it or not, there are a lot of Russians here and around the world that support what Putin is doing in the Ukraine, myself included. Since 2014, the Ukrainian government, together with Nazi groups like the Azov Battalion, have besieged the Russian populations in the Donbass, killing an estimated 13,000 people, according to the United Nations.
That's a lie.
Could I finish?
Just quickly finish, and then we'll come to put that to the panel.
So my question is, you know, where was your outpouring of grief and concern for those thousands of mostly Russians?
Okay, question earlier about Russia, and it's been playing on my mind. And Sasha, people here have been talking about family who are suffering and people are dying. And I understand you wanted to ask your question about, is there some reasoning for this? But you supported what's happening, hearing that people are dying. And can I just say I'm just not comfortable with you being here. Could you please leave? Sasha, I'm sorry. You can ask a question. You can ask a question, but we cannot advocate violence. I should have asked you to leave then. It's been playing on my mind. And I'm sorry, but I have to ask you to leave, please.
Okay, well, could I...
No, please. Just out of respect. Please, we're not having the conversation, Sasha. We can't have people advocating violence. And I should have asked you...
I didn't hear him say, I support Russia murdering Ukrainian women and children and men, for that matter. I didn't hear him say that, but this is always what you get. You get this very nuanced, like, you know, laid back. Yeah, let's just talk about this. Oh, is that what you believe about this? Okay, oh, this, what do you think? No, that's over. That's gone. Like, these people, I'm uncomfortable. Look at this. Look at this old boomer idiot here. Like, you're uncomfortable just because he has a different view on you about this, and you have to kick him off the show? These are adults. These are adults in the room here.
It's been playing on my mind.
Supposedly.
I want to have a proper conversation about these things, but I have to ask you to leave. I'm really sorry. Okay. I'm sorry for that. But, you know, these things happen. It's live television. You think about these things. It's really been troubling me that we can have a conversation and we can look at where the arguments are and we can try to look at the sides of the argument. We can't have that. And I'm sorry. It should have happened earlier.
Well, you were literally, he was having a conversation, but you decided to kick him out because you couldn't hear his arguments. And again, it's all it's all focused on the Azov Battalion. Like, that's the only player in town. And that's, and it's, look, I get it. That's an annoying aspect of this. Like, it's the only thing that's going on. But, you know, again, reiterate that point to reference it. It is fascinating that the very same people that are hysterical, I mean, look at, what was it like, even Merrick Garland, remember they've like done speeches about how like white supremacy, international white supremacy is the greatest threat and terrorism, and Department of Homeland Security is like looking at putting the Nordic Resistance Movement on like the terrorist lists and stuff like that, or, you know, the group out of Sweden. I mean, these crazy, like insane things, right? So that whole apparatus is now all of a sudden when there then actually is, you know, kind of a national socialist group working with, again, this is because they don't care. It's not about ideology. It's about that they it's advantageous to what they want to do. And they can use this group, you know, they can use them. And as far as I understand it, it's not the main group that's dictating and running things here. It's a, I'm not going to say it's completely insignificant, but it's small in the concept of the bigger picture. But they're totally ignoring it. Imagine that there was any other group like this in any other country. The whole Western apparatus would have come down on this group, but now they don't care about it. So it's a fascinating study as an example to bring up of how willfully blind they can be to something and look the other way just because it happens to benefit them. And they're just pretending it's not happening, right? But yeah, so it's always the same. It's always about, like, you know, it's everybody's a Nazi and there's Nazis everywhere. And that's the reason why they're doing it, right? So West is stopping Putin because he's a Nazi, and Putin is stopping the Nazis in Ukraine, although they have a, you know, Jewish president and an establishment there that obviously don't care about the Ukrainian people and stuff, right? But, you know, that's details. It doesn't really matter, right? So here's what happens. Speaking about adults in the room, conflict resolution, discussion, diplomacy, all these kinds of things. Well, what happened when Russia's Sergei Lavrov was speaking at a about disarmament at a UN conference? Well, then this happened. All the representatives from the European Union got up and exited the room and left. that's the responsible people in the room there. That's the that's how adults are acting now. Just, I'm uncomfortable, I'm just going to leave, right? And that's why I'm talking about that this is so dangerous, that this is this escalation. I fear there's no, there's something with this mental illness and disease that have struck over the last decade and a half. I can't really put my finger on when it actually began, but all of a sudden we just like, you realize that there's a bunch of SJW libtard mental cases everywhere who's like, you know, like you get a flavor of it on like TikTok and some of these platforms of just like the of the mentality, you know what I'm talking about? And now it's like infecting people up in the highest echelons of power, you know what I mean? And it's the same attitude. And these are supposed to be adults that are having conversations to try to solve issues. And it's just not happening. It's just not going to happen. So I think we just, for that reason, we're going to just see a massive escalation, right? Here's another clip too, by the way, of, I guess we can, let's frame it like this. These are some of the attacks that Russia have been doing on Ukraine here recently.
Сейчас мы идем, мы идем. Вот, пошло. Судя по всему, за моей спиной находится зарево от зажигательных бомб. На кадрах вы можете наблюдать, как они приземляются, и после приземления, помимо звука, еще наблюдается небольшое зарево.
There you go. There's some of Russia's aggression there against Ukraine. Oh no! Wait. Oh no! That's right. That was the attacks in Donbass since 2014, something like that, right? But did you hear a lot of kvetching about that? No, not particularly, right? Here's the Chocolate King there too, right? The puppet that got him elected. I forget when it was. That 2004 or 2005, I forget when that was, right? Anyway, you know, you get the point. It's this selective outrage, and just like, if it's beneficial, bring it up. It's degraded. We support the current thing, you know, it's all what it's about or whatever. But then you can have years prior where people are being, you know, killed and targeted or whatever, but then they don't care, right? So it's just to demonstrate the absolute hypocrisy of specifically Western media, but the whole apparatus behind this, right? Der Shirusku says, our main enemies, and within triple parentheses, started this war. Yeah, I think, let me read the rest of the comment. Most of the ASOV members and other neo-Nazis, volunteers, see Putin as an aggressor and imperialist who will push forward to the West. Yeah, I look, as I've said before, I even have a clip a little bit later. I hope we can get to that. Where are we time-wise here? Yeah, we should be able to get to that. Of showing, again, just going back to the very roots of this concept of, you know, for, and then one day for no reason whatsoever, .. Right? I want to return to that and just like show you just one little slice of why this thing in Germany in the 30s happened, and why our politics, I guess, everything goes back to that point, and that's what it's all about. It's dominating things today, like 100%. It's all what it's about, right? So I'm going to show that a little bit later as a reminder. We've shown some of that in the past, but it's a good thing to pull out again. And again, presumably because of that, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but it's regarding your comment, you see factions extending outside of Germany's border that affiliated themselves with National Socialism because that was literally their lifeline. It was literally how they survived. They were seeing the opposition was an aggressor and stuff. And so these things are just, you know, continuing to this day. It's never as easy to, you know, to throw out one side. It's always... You get this thing that is like, well, the other side is bad. The one side is good, one side is bad, and that's all it is to the conflict. There's people are trying to act that there's no rational reason for why someone choose certain things, or choose an affiliation, or choose to historically becoming aligned with something, right? But no, everything you're hearing basically from Putin, and it's very annoying. And I've talked about that before too. Is that it's like, oh, the Bandera, you know. Junta, whatever, like those are aligned with Bandera in Ukraine. That's the whole picture is about that. It's nothing else. Like, while you'd think someone like Putin could talk about like how influential the West and the Western powers are there, instead of just honing on Azov, right? So it gets kind of annoying. But thank you to Shurisker. Signwolf, I guess, kind of a continuation of that or a different take maybe on that. Henrik, do you recall the massacres of Palestinians in Lebanon by Christian militias doing Israel's dirty work for them? I vaguely familiar with that. Let me see. It was the massacres of Palestinians in Lebanon by Christian militias. Were they Lebanese then, or were they? That's one thing I'm fuzzy on. I have to look up that up. I mean, I've heard of the different factions and the fighting. But Signwolf says here, the Azov battalion in the Donbass is straight from the same playbook. Okay, well, there's some things for me to look into that. I'm not like 100% read up on that. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of schism over this, or not only disagreements, but it's mostly tiring to see how it's being used by the Russian side, I'd say. And then it's mostly, frankly, sickening to see how the West chooses to look the other way. I'm not saying they should target them, and I'm not saying that they like that. You know what? I thought about this. If the West managed to somehow control the situation in Ukraine, and let's assume that something like Azov would continue to exist, right, outside of Russia and what they're seeking to do by assumably they want to kill all of them, I would assume, right? That's what they want. I'm not like, oh, pro that or anything like that. I'm not, you know, again, you can be not pro Russia, not pro Ukraine when it comes to this conflict, and still, you know, look at it and try to unravel it and try to understand the deeper aspects of it, right? Again, I think the real victims are going to be the Ukrainians and Russians, the people. That's what I think is happening here. And there's so many overlaps, at least with the eastern populations in Ukraine, with the Russians and so forth, right? But anyway, the point is, I think eventually, if they somehow manage to get control of the situation, I think that an Azov battalion, if it survives, if it continues to exist and continues to be there and attract members and so forth, it is going... They are going to turn on them. Unfortunately, I think that they're just being used as a tool. And look, what are they supposed to do? They have to fight. They have to, you know. I get all I'm saying is to just, you know, lay down their arms and walk away or whatever. They're fighting. They're fighting for what they're believing in, and I understand that. But I also think that they're being used, and eventually, like with all things, like the same thing with a revolutionary guard after the Jacobins take control over, you know, France, and you know, this lunatic period begins. They kill many other revolutionary guards because they're afraid that they will do the same to them. And I think that they will be used in much in the same way. I wish it's not so, but that's what I think, right? Lycan Warrior says, leftists crying out in pain about European reporters preferring Ukrainian refugees rather than those from the Middle East. A racial awakening amongst rank and file press members, or is it all staged? Let me see here. Leftists crying out in pain about European reporters preferring Ukrainian refugees. Yeah, I covered a little bit of that Wednesday, right? The how basically non-Ukrainians were throwing off Ukrainian women and children from the trains and taking their places, essentially, right? And then you saw people from of non-European origin were complaining that, like, oh, Ukrainians are getting ahead of the line of us or whatever. And, you know, maybe it's because of the down to what passport or visa you have or don't have or stuff like that, right? Lycan says, a racial awakening amongst rank and file press members. I think that's highly unlikely. Hopefully I'm wrong. Among the general population, yeah, I think there's an inevitable, to simplify it, white identity that is on the rise and that's unstoppable in the long run. That's what I believe. But to your last point, a lot of the things we're seeing are staged, but probably not when it comes to the refugee situation, though, to be honest. I think you have genuinely a lot of Ukrainians that want to escape, that want to try to get out. And in some regards, they're being denied. As we saw the headlines out of the UK, out of Denmark, out of Sweden, all these women there, right, saying, no, we're not going to help any Ukrainians. That's too much. I showed them Wednesday, right? No, we've let in all these people, all these men from the Middle East and North Africa and even Sub-Saharan Africa, Uzbekistan even, the countries like this, Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq. So we're fools. We're not going to take any white European Ukrainians. they can stay out. Other countries will have to take them. Luckily, I think we have seen a lot of good, generous, help from Poland, from even Moldova. We've seen it from other countries around. I'm not sure where Hungary is on that, right? But yeah. Anyway, thank you, Lycan. I appreciate that. So let me get my bearings straight here. Let's show this one real quick too. I saw this on Twitter earlier. Here's an example. This is just a random Facebook ad for a website, I believe. But it's funny because you would not see something like this from anywhere else, right? Inner me personality insights. Each country may have its own unique traits, behaviors, and attitudes. How often do they match the national stereotypes? And then it says, what are your main traits? I like the UK guy there. That's your rank and file Anglo right there. But look at all the other countries, right? It's America, Canada, UK, right? Tolerance, do-gooders, multiculturalism, diversity, respect for others, tolerance, enthusiasm, openness, blah, 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 friendliness. Then you have a Russian there on the right. Aggression, manipulation, toxicity, pressure, self-centered, negative, immoral, violence. It's a little bit overkill, if you ask me. But, what do I know? I'm not a scientist, right? So I don't think I'm technically allowed to have any opinions really about anything. Okay. Reuters. We don't seek conflict with Russia, but we are ready for it, USS. Now, normally you have to reverse all these statements. If they say they're not going to do something, they probably will do something. I could be wrong on that, but this was after it came in the wake of Ukraine requesting that NATO closes the airspace over Ukraine. If you do that, someone's got to enforce that. How do you enforce that? You have to have jets and military planes in the air and shooting down those who violate the airspace. And of course, that would be up then to NATO. And then you had a full-on war between NATO and Russia. And then all the other alignments will happen after that point, and you'll have a world war on your hands, essentially, right? So we'll see what happens here, right? I hope I'm wrong, but they probably want some deeper conflict with this. And I think it goes back to this idea that, look, they want 500 million people on this planet. And for some reason, they're on a very tight timeline, 2030. That's kind of the main, that's when their new era begins. And I think even with the from the vaccine to COVID to the lockdowns to supply chain issues to all the problems that still is yet to come in the wake of this, and even with Russia, this is exacerbating things on the supply chain front, like grain export from some of the biggest producers in the world, Russia and Ukraine, is like half down, I believe, 50% down or something like that now. What do you think that's going to cause, right? All these things are ultimately very, very beneficial to the global elite that seek to subjugate us and to cull the herd. I think they want a huge war before 2030. They want to have mass death, mass starvation. And if they're going to get these numbers down to 500 million, and mostly of those people, they want to be comprised of non-Westerners. They want most of the Westerners gone as well. They're going to need another huge war in Europe to get there, basically, right? So when they say, "Oh, we don't want to escalate, we don't want conflict," I'm sorry, I don't think we can trust you very well. I think there's a lot of things actually that you have said in the past. It turns out to be in the exact opposite, right? So here's Jens Stoltenberg talking about the issue when it comes to the no-fly zone over Ukraine, and this is what he had to say about it. For now, at least.
NATO allies provide support to Ukraine. I think we have to remember that allies have provided support to Ukraine for many years, and now they're stepping up different types of Ukraine of support, and this is crucial in this critical time for Ukraine. On a no-fly zone, it was mentioned at the same time. Allies agree that we should not have NATO planes operating over Ukrainian airspace or NATO troops on Ukrainian territory. NATO allies provide support to Ukraine.
So we'll see. That's a matter of time. That is a matter of time. And soon enough, you might see that change. It could change at any moment. And ultimately, I think if these sides are unwilling to discuss and sit down at the table and try to sort this out diplomatically, which seems to be beyond the pale of some of these lunatics that are dominated by this mental, whatever this mental illness is that I've been talking about, that seems to be the main issue for people, right? Unless they can calm this down and go in the right direction here, I think escalation is the only way to go, right? Here was a couple of tweets here regarding just the nuclear thing, like the discussions that you're beginning to see as well. And whether they are objectively true or not is also kind of beyond the point. It's this idea that, you know, we showed another headline the other day of like, oh, small nuclear war could actually help solve global warming. Remember that? Show that Wednesday, right? Not too surprisingly, most people overestimate how destructive nuclear weapons are. I mean, that is true to a certain extent, but that's not the damn point. The point is, these soy boys are like actively like, we should wheel out the nukes. It's time. Most people underestimate how massive the difference in resilience can be between wartime and peacetime societies. It might be helpful to instill more fear of nukes, but I'm afraid it will lead to miscalculations. And then they continue here, but what about nuclear winter? And it's a theoretical concept and it might not be true and stuff. And again, I think that's objectively true, but that's not the point. The point is they will start pushing. At some point, you're going to see a nuclear war being normalized. I hope I'm wrong. Overestimate how destructive nukes are? Are you mad? What pictures nuclear weapons invoke in you? I'd guess something about total war and utter destruction, like Hiroshima, right? Well, look again. There are buildings standing in the background. Well, there you go. That settles it. That looks good to me in that picture right there. Well, there's still a couple of buildings standing. It's not too bad. It's all right. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it, right? Speaking of which, I saw this. Apparently, Russia has a new Poseidon super weapon out, too. Intercontinental nuclear-powered, nuclear-armed autonomous torpedo. Look at the size of that thing there. You have a human there for scale. Pump jet propulsion. there's a nuclear-driven, right? There's a nuclear reactor. Steam generator. Here you have the nuclear warhead, basically, right? But there's new toys out there. on both sides. You have hypersonic weapons, right, being developed. Russia's army is quite advanced, quite, you know, apparently even during this invasion, they have used their second tier, like tanks and stuff. They haven't used their most advanced weaponry. They haven't used their most advanced tanks, almost like a first wave of like the B grade type stuff. And then, you know, so if and when they need to, they have an A grade that they can wheel out as well. Anyway, I don't want to make it about, weaponry or whatever there, but it's just to keep that in mind, that it's like there's a lot of dangerous weapons out there, and if these sides escalate, you could potentially see them start using this eventually. If it gets bad enough, right? Here is another example of this too, as well. President Macron, this is from I think a Russian account, right? Russian deputy permanent representative to United Nations office in Geneva, right? Criticizing as coming down to, on Macron, this war is not a fight against Nazism. It's a lie. And then he tweets out, but then the Ukrainian Nazis, they say, here, here, right? And it's like, isn't the comparison here again, and I've kind of belated this point, I think, already, so I don't want to go on and on about it, right? But it's not quite comparative, maybe, but it's like, I don't know. It's like saying the KKK is like running American foreign policy or something. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not saying they're insignificant, but this continuous focus that this is the Azov Battalion is the only game in town and the only thing that matters, ignoring everything that we know with how tied in Zelensky is with the global order and the liberal world order, and guess what? These boys are not welcome in that liberal world order that they want to enforce at the end of the day. They, as we've seen, they're happy to use them as cannon fodder and use them on the front lines to get them to put down their lives and sacrifice themselves, and who knows, maybe that is even part of that plan, right? To use them and to have them go die in these conflicts for these... that was one thing that was fascinating to me back in, you know, not only the coup in 2014, but like even earlier there, right? You learned of all these, Jewish forces in Ukraine and so forth, and they were happy to line up with nationalist socialist forces. And I kind of thought, like, look, do they... When Victoria Nuland comes in and you know, tries to dictate the situation, and John Hines Kerry shows up as well and tries to push all the, you know, the policies on Ukraine to make them into a sledgehammer against Russia, I'm still very... It's kind of a mystery to me that some of these groups are willing to kind of line up with those forces and fight, if not maybe, side by side with them, at least partially alongside with them over here or something. Maybe they think they'll gain power at the end. Maybe they think they're going to take over or something and become more dominant than they are. So I don't know. It's just, it's very puzzling. Could also be a survival thing. They don't even know what to do. This is the thing, right? It's all they know how to do, and it's the only option left. So I don't know. But anyway, so that's always a cringe, that it's all about that, and the optics thing discussion is about that. So why don't we play this? We still have some time here. Let me play this to you here, because it's all about Nazis all the time and National Socialism and Germany and all that kind of stuff. And so let me remind you again once more and play this clip here regarding that. And then one day, for no reason whatsoever, something happened, and of course, and the rest is history. Look at this clip here. Enjoy.
People were renting out their bodies, people that you wouldn't believe, like generals and their wives that couldn't have been terribly attractive, would engage in public sex in their living room if there was any Japanese, Turks, or Americans would pay for it, would pay a dollar for it.
With entire life savings disappearing through hyperinflation and desperate for hard currency, middle-class Berliners transformed their homes into houses of pleasure for tourists.
There was one family that actually turned this into quite a high art form, if you like, from a pornographic point of view. They started a little club called AEFA, which is an acronym in German for Alles eine Familie, which really means all in the family. And this was run by mum, dad, and two daughters, but it developed into a club where every possible sexual taste was catered for.
Hausfrauen became harlots, teenagers turned tricks, and Papa became a pimp.
When When you have unemployed, you also have an increase in sex workers. But it wasn't just Berliners. It was tens and maybe hundreds of thousands of young boys and young girls who were coming to Berlin to participate in this hard currency sex traffic.
Berlin was basically the fighting ground of politics through culture. Every intellectual was leftish. The whole political right wing, which basically came from Munich, did not play any role in the beginning. The whole town was in the hands of leftish ideas.
A city bursting with Bolsheviks, socialists, revolutionaries, Slavs, and Jews.
By 1922, inflation was spiraling wildly out of control. It got to the point where people would be paid in the morning and have suitcase fulls of banknotes, and they would have to then run to the shops because in the time between being paid and the time when they bought their goods, their food, the prices would have risen.
With virtually every currency in the world more valuable than the German mark, foreign tourists flocked into the city to take advantage of the cheapest sex on the continent.
You had tourists coming from all over the world. $10 in American money could buy you anything you wanted.
Berlin was basically the fighting ground of politics through culture. Every intellectual was leftish. The whole town was in the hands of leftish ideas.
If you knew what to look for, you could find anything, anything known to man in the sexual world was available on the streets of Berlin.
On any given night, as many as 100,000 prostitutes walked the streets or worked the sex clubs across the city.
There were all different whores with different kinds of makeup on the street. For instance, one was called Mutzi. Mutzis who were prostitutes who hung out on just one street, Mutzstrasse, and these were pregnant prostitutes. And this being Germany, instead of just having pregnant prostitutes together, they were strung out on the street according to how pregnant that they were, so limousines stopping there could choose exactly how pregnant they wanted their Mutzi. There were prostitutes who looked horrible, who had acid-scarred faces or hunchbacks or were lame or crippled. These were called grasshoppers. You had mother and daughter teams on one street that dressed exactly alike.
Here in Berlin, sex for sale offered every sort of perversion or fetishism imaginable. There was not a sexual appetite that could not be satisfied in this city.
There were clubs where lesbians liked to whip schoolboys, and you'd find military officers sitting there with painted children sitting on their laps. So a lot of it was play acting, but there were quite a lot of people who also indulged in it.
Yeah. There you go, right? Just a little reminder. I know some of you guys have seen this one before, right? But it's a good example of, right? What in the world caused them to just like all of a sudden develop not only a racial consciousness out of someone like this of being abused, but what in the world could someone be attracted to a solution to problems like these and like get out of that situation, right? And start once more defending yourselves against it and the oppression and the depravity, right? And some of you pointed out in chat as well, it's like, I mean, you can make the comparisons today, but as you see, art form, right? It's an art form. Everybody in the family selling your kids, pimping your kids. When Turkish or Japanese or whatever, I'm not sure if it's Japanese, but you know what I mean. Like all these other people from other parts of the world pouring in, raping your children in front of you, right? Oh, that's fine. That doesn't cause, doesn't really cause a reaction or something like that, right? Ultima Power said, worst about that documentary is the positive spin that they try to put on it. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's called... Legendary Cities, I think, since Berlin, Sin City, or something like that. I think it's available on YouTube, but it should be, I think, but you'd have the whole thing, right? But it's incredible, right? Showing young boys and girls being abused and taken advantage of, and, you know, the desperate attitudes, right? So again, that rose up for a reason, right? What happened there? And then ultimately you have a continuation of that, you know, groups, you know, in Ukraine, other part, Hungary, right? Croatia, that saw that this faction that rose up in opposition to everything that was happening to them was the only way for them to survive and get out of that situation and defend themselves. And again, if they hadn't defended themselves, there's a lot of people and commenters have argued that, you know, Europe overall would have already have been consumed, right? Just succumbed to this whole Bolshevik takeover and the commie revolution and stuff like that, right? But again, I mean, just comparison to today, you don't have it. I mean, you have it in real life and stuff like that too. But I mean, just look at the online environment and the depravity there of like women selling their farts in jars. I'm not even joking. You know what I mean? Like, or their bath water, or, I mean, it's the most depraved stuff you can ever imagine. It's like we're living in the OnlyFans era, I guess is the best term for it. Which is just have echoes of all of this, right? Well, everything can be available to you at any price, right? And here we go again, like off the edge of inflation and devaluation of currencies, and like it's not a good spot. And I just want to show you that as a reminder of like there is a reason why shit happened historically. Okay, there wasn't just someone woke up for one day for no reason and just decided to go on a rampage against others, you know what I mean? All right, let's do this. We're gonna pivot a little bit here. We do have a little bit more time together before we wrap up. I wanted to talk a little bit about there is an overlap between actually Ukraine and the stuff that's happening with the COVID vaccine and bioweapons. This is an interesting thing. Now, we've talked before about just how utterly corrupt the establishment in Ukraine is, right? I think it's somewhere on like fourth from the bottom or something of like some average corruption index list or whatever. And it's not, that's not to shit on Ukrainians or the Ukrainian people. It's just the reality of, and part of that is because of just how many gay ops there are, how much meddling there is, how many people being placed in positions of power, and the continuous coups, and you know, it's just there's never rest for the Ukrainians, and so that's what happens. You have some of the worst elements that are descending up into the halls of power, unfortunately. But of course, the U.S. has very deep ties to Ukraine. They've operated there for a long time. They have a lot of their people there. There's even a whole I haven't even talked about that, but the Biden and the Hunter connection, you know, to Ukraine, and just the money and all that stuff, right? But apparently the U.S. embassy and the U.S. biowarfare program has had a lot of facilities and presence in Ukraine as well. And one thing that happened as the invasion happened, U.S. embassy just removed all of their Ukraine bioweapon lab documents from the website thread, right? Here's the link here. Let me see. Yeah, and then they decided to remove that, right? This page has never existed, was the link, which is kind of, it never has existed? Okay, well, that's a new take on it, right? If you were sent here, you may have been given disinformation about our Mission Ukraine website. Please go here instead. Here we've revised everything. So yeah, that page has never existed. That's why you have a landing page that says that says that about you, right? Anyway, so there's more on this here, which is kind of interesting. January 22nd, 2016, 20 Ukrainian soldiers dead and 200 hospitalized over an influenza-style virus said that have escaped from a U.S. military biolab in Kharkiv in Ukraine. Interesting. There's a screenshot here, archives.org from this, right? Let's see if I can pull that up more full screen. Deadly virus leaked from U.S. laboratory in Donbass. Army and intelligence. More than 20 Ukrainian soldiers have died and over 200 soldiers are hospitalized in a short period of time because of new and deadly virus, which is immune to all medications. Donetsk People's Republic intelligence has reported that Californian flu is leaked from the same place where research of this virus have been carried out. Right, interesting. Okay, It's like you can't make it up. Here's a couple of tweets on this as well. I guess we can just show those real quick. John Line the Point. Clandestine on Twitter here said, holy shit, I think I'm onto something here about Ukraine. Zelensky said, the Russians are firing at military installations. How broad is that term? I'm seeing speculation that could include U.S.-installed biolabs. At first, I was like, no way. Then I started to dig. Right, here's a couple of examples. U.S. biolabs in Ukraine. Quite a few of them, as you can see, around Kiev, but also in Donetsk. Crimea, even, right? Two, first I checked if the U.S. even have biolabs in Ukraine. Turns out we do, and in classic U.S. fashion, it's marked as defense. Biological threat reduction program and in Ukraine. Study the most dangerous viruses in the world at Russia's border. It's one of the, I guess, headlines from it, right? Interesting. Three, okay, so we're studying the world's most deadly pathogens as at Russia's border. It's just for defense, though. Not a big fan of a deal, right? Wrong. I didn't know this until today, but Russia has been accusing the U.S. of creating bioweapons at their borders, right? This is from Newsweek, a story there. Four, and they have good reason to believe that, as the U.S. NIH-funded gain-of-function in Wuhan, then COVID-19 got out, and it ruined the world. Russia and China asked for the U.N., asked the U.N. for U.S. allies to be checked and limited in biocapabilities 4 months ago. This is from South China Morning Post. Headline five. Do you all know what this means? China and Russia indirectly and correctly blame the U.S. for the COVID-19 outbreak and are fearful that the U.S. allies have more viruses or bioweapons to let out. This is massive. Yet I'm disturbed that I didn't know this about 4 months ago. And last post from Clandestine here. So how does that pertain to Ukraine? Well, where in Ukraine are the explosions taking place? Here is a reported explosion in Lutsk. This is 75 miles inland in far western Ukraine, the opposite border of Russia. What does this have to do with Crimea, Donetsk in the east? That's just a couple of screenshots as one example of some of the weird stuff that might be happening kind of in the background of all of this, behind the scenes, and as we're being busy talking, looking at Russia and Ukraine, which is we have to do it. But then all these things are happening in the backdrop when it comes to the vaccine information that's coming up, and of course no one has the focus, no one has the attention, no one has the time now to look at this. And one of the biggest medical campaigns in human history have just concluded, essentially, right? I mean, I'm sure they will keep pushing the boosters, and it's going to be a flu shot combined with the COVID shot now, and it's going to keep going, so it's not over. But I'm saying, up to this point, we've had the biggest like medical intervention with an experimental, and now, judging from the result, and we knew this, and we've talked about this, lethal, dangerous, I mean, absolutely insane new type of technology being used, the mRNA technology, against majority of the Western population, and if they would have gotten their way, the global population. But again, this is mostly on the West, right? It's from the Exposé, good paper here. Whilst you've been distracted by Russia's invasion, the UK government released a report confirming the fully vaccinated now account for 9 in every 10 COVID deaths in England. Big surprise. The latest data published by the UK Health Security Agency confirms deaths are rising dramatically among the triple vaccinated population, whilst declining steadily among the not vaccinated populations in England. While the most recent figures show the fully vaccinated account for 9 in every 10 COVID-19 deaths over the past month, the triple vaccinated account for 4 in every 5 of them, right? Big surprise. And they go through, they have some of the stats there, right? But yeah, that's some of the stuff from the expose. It gets worse here as well, of course, with the side effects. The FDA dumps 55,000 pages of Pfizer safety data after a judge ordered them to. Remember, they tried to cover it up for about 75 years, and they were going to release, a few hundred pages a month or something like that for the next 75 years. Well, lucky for us, we can find out. They were ordered to release a trove of them immediately. Since then, PHMT has posted, so all the documents have been posted on their website. What is that for? The Public Health and Medical Professional for Transparency, PHMPT. They have posted all the documents on their website. The latest drop happened on March 1st, 2022, and shows alarming statistics. Here we go. One of the members of this group, Aaron Cariotti, tweeted in a link to the documents and note that the analysis would be coming soon. A few hours later, he again tweeted, this time noting that oncologists will be busy in the coming years. And a massive drop of the clinical overview, table 59, shows the percentage of subjects reporting at least one adverse events following one dose, dose two, and the control group, or placebo. In this table shows that the vaccinated suffered fevers, chills, and pains, and 13 times more than the placebo group. In another document in the appendix, there's a list of adverse events of special interest. And I have it pulled up right here. This is the page, right? Just to give you a little bit of a slice of just how many adverse events that Pfizer and, of course, in the extension, these regulatory bodies are aware of, right? Cumulative analysis of post-authorization adverse event reports of this the approved product, right? That it received through 28th of February, 2021. Let me just scroll down here a little bit. Obviously, this is just too much to go through now in any kind of detail, but let me just give you an overview of the actual list of the number of adverse events. Let me scroll down. Where are we here? I believe we are right here. Here we go. Appendix 1, list of adverse events of special interest from this experimental mRNA shot. Let me just scroll down slowly here too, so you can see. Here's all the lists, the full list of adverse events. Page 2. I think it's like 8 pages of this here. Look at this. Page 3. That was page 4. Is there an alphabetic order here? That was page 5. Page 6. That's page 7. And finally, here's page 8. Oh, it keeps going. I thought it was 8 pages. Okay, here, no, here's page 9. Is that it then? Yeah, there you go. Page 9. We're ending with Zika virus-associated Guillain-Barre syndrome. Good. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to see. That's not a big issue or anything like that. Look, they want you dead, folks, and they will find any means necessary. Preferably, they want you to line up and take shots and just be done with, right? And of course, it gets worse because you thought that the mRNA vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine, was bad enough. Well, guess what? We are now going to get a mRNA solution to every single disease out there. Here's Biden the other day announcing the creation of ARPA-H, an offshoot of DARPA, which of course is the Defense Advanced Research Agency or Projects Agency. But ARPA-H stands for the Advanced Research Project Agency Health. Listen to this.
I announced the plan to supercharge the cancer moonshot that President Obama asked me to lead 6 years ago. Our goal is to cut cancer death rates by at least 50% over the next 25 years. I think we can do better than that. Turn cancers from death sentences into treatable diseases. More support for patients and their families.
And by the way, you know cancer is going to be out of control because of this shot. We've talked about that. So, of course, their solution to that is going to be, well, more mRNA solutions.
To get there, I call on Congress to fund what I call ARPA-H, Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health, patterned after DARPA and the Defense Department. Projects that led in DARPA to the internet, GPS, and so much more to make our forces more safer and be able to wage war more with more clarity. ARPA will have a singular purpose: to drive breakthroughs in cancer, Alzheimer's and diabetes, and more.
Vaccines, that is the number one issue that this agency is going to be developing. The messengers RNA can be the one, the vaccine method that will prevent most cancers, it says here. There you go. So enjoy proposed Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health. These are, you know, it's interesting that they're using the defense kind of lingo and that this is somehow like kind of implication is that these are military programs that are running this way. Remember the Operation Warp Speed, same thing, right? So anyway, just a little heads up on that. It's insane times, ladies and gentlemen. And it's looking more and more grim. At least if they get their way, I think ultimately they will not get their way. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to be trying. Doesn't mean that they won't be doing everything they can to get that number down. I've said it before. I said again, 500 million. And if you're going to have that left on this planet, you got to do some pretty radical things because that's an awful lot of billions that they want to have gone, right? Conservative Thinkers says, happy birthday, baby ice. Well, thank you, appreciate that. Shadow Government says, Kyle Rittenhouse. What's he doing? I haven't checked in with that guy for a while. Is he still going on MAGA tier shows, or is he doing something? I saw someone was like hitting on his sister or something the other day. It's like, she's like underage too, probably, or something. Anyway, last thing here I want to end with, and then we'll wrap up, is there is also, this is other news. Of course, we've talked about very serious things here today. I'm not sure where this is going to go, but there is a U.S. trucker convoy that's heading to D.C. as well. I believe it might be this weekend. Might be tomorrow. I could be wrong on that. Maybe if it feels like it's too far out. It might be the next Saturday. I could be wrong, but I didn't get the dates right yet. Let's just take a look at a little bit of footage from it. Of course, we follow the Canadian convoy closely, very, very closely. But again, can you imagine if and when it gets close to D.C. and things like that? Can you imagine the... I mean, we saw what they did in Canada to blame Diagonal, Plaid Army, those guys. Can you imagine the level of gay ops that will happen in D.C. when and if the convoy gets close? Anyway, here's some of the footage from how things are looking right now. See where this is here. See that they show the sign. I forget where this was. I the captioning. I did not take that down, but that's a good amount of people right there. Waiting the convoy, just like we saw in Canada. No honking. Maybe they outlawed that already. Honk, honk, boys. There's some more. Oh, no, here's some honking. There we go. Good stuff. I know one of them is in, like, South Carolina, I think, right now. One of them. Okay, and then I know the next one is from Indianapolis, this clip right here. There we go. Good stuff. So looks well organized. Looks like a lot of people. Looks interesting. We'll keep an eye on that, too, as everything else continues to unravel here and unfurl. Ultimately, good. I mean, it's necessary. It is necessary. I liked very much what we saw in Canada overall, positive. And good things that came out of that, I think, if nothing else, also revealing the hand of the overstep of the government, and a lot of skeptical voices awoke in Canada after this. And that's ultimately that's a good thing. We'll take it. All right, boys and girls, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the show. It was good to be with you. I'm sorry I'm kind of half speed here, a little bit still, so I do appreciate your patience, and thank you for being with us here over the last week and a half, or almost two now. For still being a bit under the weather, if I had anything to say about it, I'd prefer to be out of it by now, but who knows, maybe it's Koof Omicron. Who knows what's going on at this stage? But I am sick of it, though, let me tell you that. Okay, so we're going to be joined by Lana this weekend. That's the plan anyway, so if you want to check out more, Weekend Warrior is coming up. We usually record that Sundays, so that is the plan. You can join us over at redicemembers.com, of course. If you don't have a subscription yet, you can. There's a number of ways you can sign up. Helps to support the show as well, so we can not only continue, but in our efforts to try to expand, get another dedicated editor aboard. That's one of the goals that we have here. This year, we want to get that happening, so we can produce more and get back on track a little bit more here, too. Definitely as we get control of the health again, much more we want to do and need to do as well. You can join us at subscribestar.com/redice if you want to use debit or credit card. If you do sign up over there, just send us a DM or an email, redice@protonmail.com. Let us know you signed up, and we'll activate your account manually on redicemembers.com. That's how we have to do it for now, because we are, just like many other Canadians experienced this past month here, also frozen out from bank services and things like that. So this is why we're using it this way. EntropyStream.live/RedIceTV. You can do the same thing there. You can pay to do a paid chat offline if you prefer, one-time payment, but they do have a subscription option as well. And we have a Cash App. We have an e-check option for those in the U.S. Of course, crypto. And then right here, you have a mailing address as well. But again, all the information, folks, is on redicemembers.com. If you don't have an account over there, sign up for one. It's easy. And then just click on subscribe, sign up, and then you get a page where you get all the info. We do appreciate your support. I saw a couple of more Entropy Stream chats here as well, so let's take those. What do we have here? Cuckfree Zone, keep up the good work. Hail our people. Thank you, Cuckfree Zone. Always good to see you. Thank you for joining us. North Fork again, says Henrik. Hope you're feeling better soon. I'm sure you've considered this, but years ago, when me and my family moved from one state to another, we seemed to get sick a lot more in the new location. Different from a different elevation, different humidity levels, different pollens, etc. A couple of the streets, coupled with the stress, yes, of the new place. Takes time to adapt. I definitely consider that. I think something else is going on, though. We moved states, two times now? This is the second time, I guess. And we haven't experienced nothing like this. I do take that into account, but I say this. There's a lot of people around us here as well who've been here for a long time, and some that have been local here. And they've been sick like crazy. I know people that have been sick like five times last year or this past year as well. Look, they're fucking around with shit in laboratories, and that's what I think is going on here ultimately. I mean, some people believe it's the vaccine and the shedding. It might be part of it, might be just a small part of it. But ultimately, they are messing around with stuff in laboratories, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it, and people doing this need to be held accountable. Capital punishment is just way too lenient for these people of what they've done to the globe. All the people that have gotten sick and ill and the lockdowns. And I mean, God, it's crazy. All right, there you go. Cuckfree Zone says, I dang, you're sick again. Yeah, I know. Last week and a half. Sorry to hear that, man. Get better, Henrik. Yeah, I mean, I'm slowly getting better, so it's fine. I'm going to keep pushing through anyway. As long as I can sit up, I'm going to keep doing shows. And we have more videos in the pipeline coming too, by the way. Working on one of Lana's latest. But again, if you want to join us over the weekend here, redicemembers.com, Weekend Warrior. That is up next, and then we'll be back with more next Friday. By the way, I have Mark Collett booked in to guest host with me. I have David from, let me see, XYZ, is it IIO? Let me see here, .net.au, that's right. David Hiscox, I think it is. Hiscox, I think I pronounced it like that. He has a really good site over on about the Oz situation in Australia. This one, you might have seen it here. He's coming on. I'm booking him in, too. They cover some of the LRAD stuff that happened on the protesters in Australia, by the way, too. But so he's coming on to talk about the situation overall in Oz, both, well, primarily Australia, but also New Zealand. These are things still that are ongoing. The situation in Canada is still ongoing. The situation in Australia. I mean, that's what's so crazy about this, too, that everything else is happening. You just kind of stuff ends up on the back burner and you forget. Situation is really bad in some of these World Economic Forum puppet countries still, right? So we'll talk with him about that. And we do have some other people as well ready to be booked in. But yes, that's it for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, or today, rather, a little bit earlier than usual. Thank you to everyone joining us live. And of course, again, if you missed the live show and wanted to tune in live and you didn't know we were doing it earlier today, check the archives, BitChute, Odyssey, Red Ice TV, Red Ice members. It's all there for you. We do appreciate you guys. Thank you so much again. We do appreciate your support. Stay brave. Keep fighting, boys and girls. Keep pushing back and keep exposing the damn lies of the global homo elites. We'll see you guys soon. Take care.
Do you love Red Ice? Want more? Get access to exclusive material by signing up for a Red Ice membership. You'll be able to watch Weekend Warrior, our flagship show, the second hour of interviews, and other special feature videos only for subscribers. Were you a member and we lost you along the way? Renew! We love and appreciate you guys and gals and cannot do this without you. Help us be a sane voice, a lighthouse in the sea of insanity. As times get tougher, as people are searching for answers, they're going to need content like Red Ice. A little of all your support can go a long way. Thank you.